You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 455 entitled, Can a Woman Run a Lawn Care Business? Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, comments, and feedback that you guys send through each week. In fact, this episode's topic this week is because of one of those questions. And just a happy Easter to everybody who celebrates Easter this past weekend. For me, being raised a Catholic and obviously a follower of Jesus, that is always a special time of year for me. This year was, no exception, especially after Easter, the Easter weekend. It always brings about so much hope, I can say, for the new year and the year ahead. And ironically, I don't know how it is everywhere else. So I've always been curious about this, but for me, at least, I talk about the rain and all that stuff a lot, but it always never seems to miss that on the Good Friday, on the day that, Jesus was crucified, you see the movies, you see the stories and stuff, and you imagine, the rain coming down and the nasty weather and all that sort of stuff. And it always seems to be the case here, Good Friday, year after year, that it's always gloomy and wet and all that sort of stuff. Not that that's, anything different. But what's ironic is that then on the Easter Sunday, when, Christ has risen, it's always a nice sunny day. So it's just kind of funny that every year it always seems the same way. In fact, my daughter said this year, on the Friday, she was like, oh, like it's raining. And I was like, yeah, like what would you expect? It always rains on Good Friday. It's always kind of dreary looking on Good Friday. So anyways, for those of you guys that do celebrate the Easter, happy Easter to all of you. And again, like I said, it just brings a lot of hope this time of year, especially for us in the lawn care industry, when and lawn care business owners, when we've come off of the long winter, and you haven't done any mowing. Some guys do continue to work a little bit here and there, or doing different jobs and different things. But for the vast majority of us here, especially in North America, where a lot of obviously the lawn care and stuff shuts down because winter is here, approaches, and you got the snow and all that sort of stuff. And, a lot of guys do snow removal and things like that. Some guys don't. But the primary goal, primary focus for us here is lawn care. And that's, why the podcast is the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. It's not the landscape industry podcast or something like that, right? It focuses in on lawn care businesses. So, with Easter, in the spring, it's kind of the start of the spring. So it's always that kind of hope, that kind of, kicking off the season and all that sort of stuff. So this past week, I was a bit of a slower one for me. I did my first cuts the week previous, but like every year, I kick off those first cuts. I do some moss control for clients that are signed up for that. And then I typically will skip the following week, which was last week. So I did no mowing this past week. Getting things prepared again for the coming week ahead, starting this week that this episode is coming out, is where the season, not that it didn't officially already start, it officially started when I did all those first cuts, but it officially starts like the weekly schedule now, each week, rain or shine, regardless, starts this particular week when this episode comes out. By the time this hits, people downloading it, I'll probably be out starting to, do my first or second Mohs for some people, and first Mohs for a few clients that I typically wait until April to do the very first cuts for. The big farm property that I do, I don't typically do during that first round where I do the majority cuts. And there's also another client that I do, one that I featured on some of my YouTube videos where I do a lot of the leaf cleanups. It's a corner lot and stuff, one that's surrounded by big trees where it's a lot of big leaf cleanups and stuff. That one I typically wait as well for April at least, because of the trees and all the stuff around there. Even though the trees aren't fully, there's not all the full leaves and stuff yet, things are just starting that lawn typically because of the amount of shade and stuff that it's in throughout that season. Then we went into the winter and stuff. It is a very mossy lawn, and it's one that the client doesn't necessarily want to put any money into, so it's just go there and mow whatever needs mowing. So it's just one of those things. So that one I put off until April, and then the farm property, the commercial property that I do, that one I put off until April as well. So those ones will be added to the list of all the other regular clients. Plus, I signed up a bunch of other clients over the past week. Some of them for just doing some like the applications, the moss control, aerations, fertilizers throughout the year, that sort of stuff, and a couple for mowing. So I'll be starting those this week as well. So looking forward to it, to seeing how things are going. I'm going to continue, obviously, like I talked about last episode, about using the battery power tools. And speaking of battery power tools, I got to play with kind of an interesting battery power tool, actually more of an accessory or an attachment for the Milwaukee M18 quick lock system that I have. Got one of the what are they called, rotary scissors, I think some brands call them, others including Milwaukee call them the reciprocator. So it kind of looks like a round disc with kind of if you imagine a hedge trimmer attachment, but kind of like in a circle. So it's like the hedge trimmer type teeth that kind of oscillate back and forth, a bottom layer and a top layer, but in a circle or disc shape. And it's got a bunch of different uses. The Milwaukee one in particular that I got to try out for the first time is a 9-inch disc. It has the ability to cut up to half an inch. So it can be used for like clearing brush and stuff like that, it says. But it also has other uses. For trimming and stuff without, I think they word it as in able to trim in close proximity without marring. So what they're talking about there is, and I did a quick little video, if you follow me on Instagram, I did a little Instagram reel there showing kind of the first time using it. And a lot of cases where you have things like wood fences and stuff that have no borders or no like, like rock or anything along the bottom. It's just like the grass growing right up into the fence. Or in the case of the example that I showed in a quick little video clip was my backyard deck that I built, where I still haven't finalized what I want to do with the deck in terms of like the deck is done. The roof part is on and all that sort of stuff. I did that a couple years ago. But my wife and I are still undecided on how we want to finish the surrounding area around the deck. So we've basically just let the lawn kind of grow right up against the bottom kind of step. It's got like a wraparound step around the whole deck. So the grass kind of grows up around there. So the reciprocator or like rotary type scissor tool is good in that situation where you're string trimming, where you don't want to string trim right up against your wood deck or your cedar fence or something like that, because obviously, you know, constantly doing that will, you know, destroy. Like, you have to obviously get right up close to the cedar with your string trimmer, otherwise you leave all the stragglers and you know, that sort of stuff, so you don't get that kind of uniform look. But obviously using string trimmer on something soft like wood and things like that, when you're trimming grass, is going to completely destroy that wood fence and stuff. And over the years, I've seen that on different jobs that I've gone to, and you have to be very careful with that. Where the rotary scissors, because it's not the string kind of flying around, it just has those reciprocating teeth like a hedge trimmer, you can get really close without damaging that object that you are trying to trim the grass around. So I got to use that for the first time, and it takes a little bit of getting used to, and literally, if you watch that video, that is like the very first time I am using that unit. Like, I did a little bit of a little patch of grass that I didn't show in that video, and then decided, okay, let me try it against the wood there. But that the video clip of me actually trimming against wood, that's the very first time I've gone with that reciprocator tool right up against an object like that. So you'll see, like, I wasn't perfect the first time kind of doing it and stuff, and then, you know, missed some grass and stuff, and then kind of came back and did it, but was kind of getting, you know, the feel for it. But I can definitely see where that would be an interesting tool for those scenarios. And yeah, just a very interesting type of tool. The only thing that I would miss if, you know, using that sort of a tool full time is because I'm so used to doing the string trimmer edging as well to maintain my string trimmer, I wouldn't use that tool to do edging with, because the teeth, I think, would get destroyed if you're trying to put it between concrete and stuff. So it's more, I think, applicable just in my limited use using it sort of for that flat type trimming. So then you'd have to come back with like a actual like blade edger or something to do your edging, or, you know, the string trimmer, whatever you wanted to do that. But for those particular areas where you are worried about that sort of thing, or you have a, you know, maybe a customer requesting, or, you know, whatever the case may be, something sensitive like that, that you have to get around, or just brush clearing, where a string trimmer may not work, for that, where this, because it has, those like, teeth, just like a hedge trimmer, might be the thing to do the trick in that particular situation. But I'm going to keep trying it out in different applications to see how that works. The other attachment that I got a hold of that I need to try out is Milwaukee also has the bed redefiner tool. That I have the Echo version of, and the Echo version of is okay, but it's a weird, almost like a claw type design, and it kind of gets mucky, and it only works in really sort of really dry conditions. If there's any sort of moisture and stuff, you know, if you look at anybody else's, like I did my own video on it, but other people's reviews and stuff that I've seen all sort of have the same kind of talk about it. So I'm wondering how the Milwaukee one, because it looks completely of like a different type of blade design, that would, looks like it would probably work a little bit better, but we'll see when I get to actually use it and see how that goes. So looking forward to trying that out as well. And just seeing, you know, implementing and using those types of tools in the business as well. Like I said, trying to go as much as I can with the battery stuff. I just, you know, really enjoy it. I know a lot of guys don't like the battery stuff. There is some pushback with battery tools and that sort of stuff. But for me, honestly, like I just love it. I was resistant at first, especially the first few years with the Milwaukee stuff. I tried it for certain things. Hedge trimming, I loved right away. That was the one thing I liked. But string trimming and stuff like that, I was like, eh, it's not, you know, I just kept using gas. It wasn't really necessity at the time. But the more and more I gave battery power tools, how would you say it? Like an honest chance, right? Sort of just putting my reservations aside and that sort of stuff and just saying, okay, let's just really test it and see. Full, not one day, not, you know, half a day, not 1 week, but like really, like if I had no choice and this is what I had to use, let me use it and see what the shortcomings are, see where it, you know, thrives and that sort of stuff. And, you know, the more and more I used it, the more I enjoyed using it and preferred it over gas. And now I would not go back to using gas for things like string trimmers, hedge trimmers, even blowers in most instances, like the weekly maintenance and stuff like that. I will still say, depending on, you know, if you've got really you know, huge properties that are like covered in trees and leaves and stuff like that, and you're doing multiple ones of those for cleanups, then it still might make sense to go gas just because of how, you know, fast you can refill it and stuff like that and the cost at the current moment. But over time, like for me, for the properties that I do and stuff like that, it's not an issue using the battery power stuff. But if you follow me on YouTube and stuff like that, we'll get into that with videos and stuff going into the future as I use all these battery power tools more and more. And this year, I'm going to try to limit the use of gas powered tools to the Exmark Navigator, the Turf Tracer, and the aerator power rake. I think that's about it that I can think of off the top of my head. There might be something that I might need, although I don't think so, something else. I think I can pretty much cover everything else with battery powered tools. And I'm going to, you know, try to do that. Last year, I did, you know, most of the season, with this. Well, I did, the first half of the season, I did mostly battery-powered string trimmer. I had to use the gas stuff during the rain. Then once I got the Cress equipment, that stuff was is rated for the rain, so it wasn't an issue to use that in the rain. So then I went fully battery with string trimmers, blowers, all that sort of stuff. Backpack blower last year, I went fully battery, didn't use my gas backpack blowers at all. So the tail end from like August of last year through the end of the season, so August, September, October, part of November, was all battery except for the Turf Tracer and the Navigator. So I'm going to try to keep that going this year and going an entire season, especially this upcoming hell month, as we call it. So anyways, I'm just rambling on here. So I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll get into this week's episode right after this. So stay tuned.
Choosing the right equipment also means getting service and support you can trust. Hi, it's Michelle with the Exmark customer service team. We are committed to giving you the expert technical support necessary to keep your equipment performing at its best. Reach us by phone, email, or social media on any weekday, and we will respond quickly with advice you can trust because it comes straight from the folks who built your machines. Visit Exmark.com to learn about Exmark's industry-leading service and parts support.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
Okay, so just before I dive into this week's episode, just a thought that came into the top of my head. As I mentioned there before going to that commercial break, that I was kind of like rambling on, that kind of spawned an idea in my mind of just wondering what you guys think about that. I always aim to sort of kind of share some personal details about what's going on with me and my business in the first kind of 15 minutes or so of the podcast episode. episode and then kind of dive into the week's topic or whatever the title of that episode is after that on these sort of solo episodes. But do you guys even enjoy that? Do you guys even want to sort of have that personal knowings on of what's going on in my business? Or would you rather me just do a shorter episode and just dive right into the topic right off the top and not share any sort of personal details about my business or what I'm doing that week or how things are going or anything like that? So let me know. I'd be very, very curious about that. You can, of course, if you follow me on Instagram, just send me a DM message that you heard the episode and what your thoughts are on that. Or you can email me, head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com and just go to the contact page. Those details there are in the podcast show notes, as well as how we got this week's topic question through the leave voicemail link there in the podcast show notes as well. You'll see that you can click on that and just talk and record a message for me. And that's how this week's topic message came about. So let me know what you think about that. If you'd prefer me to just to dive into topics and have shorter episodes, or to kind of share the personal side of my business as well, along with the episode topic. So I'm going to play that audio clip of the question that inspired this particular episode, and then I'll share my thoughts.
Hi, I am a woman looking to get into the industry and start my own business. I am curious to see if you see any women in your industry right now, and if you think it would be a good idea to start with woman-owned and operated and take that forward as a selling point. I've tried to get a couple of jobs with some crews, but once they find out I'm a woman, they never call me back or move forward with me. So I appreciate your thoughts on this, and thanks for all you do.
All right, so that message was from Tiff and K initial for her last name. So thank you, Tiff, for sending in that message. And right off the bat, I'm going to say absolutely 100%. You can... as a woman, run a lawn care business on your own. That should not even be something that you should be worried about, thinking about. There's absolutely no reason that you would have an issue running a lawn care business as a woman. There's nothing that in this business, particularly if you're focusing in on lawn care, that a man can do better, let's say, put it that way, than a woman. When it comes to cutting lawns, trimming, edging, putting fertilizer down, aerating, things like that, as long as you are physically able to do those things, to be able to, deal with the walking, the amount of walking, depending on, the size, properties, all that sort of stuff that you're doing. But I'm talking like, from my perspective, when it's a lot of push mowing and stuff like that, as long as you're able to do that sort of stuff, then there should be no reason that would hold you back. In fact, I would say that it is probably more of a strength to be able to do that versus not doing that or not focusing in on that. And what I mean by that is that as a woman, now, of course, I'm a man, so I can't really speak to things. So I'm just going to, I really pondered this question. It actually came a few weeks ago, and I had winter interview series episodes recorded up to that, already pre-recorded. So I had to save this question for a bit. And then last week's, I wanted to sort of talk about the business and the year going forward and stuff. So I've had some time to kind of think about this and ponder this. And I actually let my wife hear that voicemail question as well, and asked her opinion on it as well, as even though she's not in the lawn care industry, but just on a whole. So came up with just some notes and stuff, you know, thinking about this and pondering it for the past couple of weeks. And so a lot of these points and things like that are just going based off my own experience, my thinking about my wife or my daughter, and kind of going by that. But everybody's different. So some of the points that I'm going to bring up may not be applicable to you, Tiff, or to any other woman that's listening to this. They may be different things. So, you know, take it for a grain of salt. Take it and think about your own, identify your own unique gifts, the gifts that God gave you, the things that you do and like and, you know, are good at versus everybody else, whether they are male or female. And try to utilize those things or work to highlight those types of things or do work that helps support those types of things. So what I mean by that is, you know, some of the things in lawn care, like I talk about all the time, it may not be a gift, actually. It's more of one of those things is like my short attention span, my almost ADD, right? Attention deficit disorder type of symptoms, right? Where I don't like doing long projects and long, you know, jobs where I'm on the same property for extended periods of time and big, you know, landscaping projects and things like that. I just don't like that sort of stuff. That's where lawn care for me and focusing in on those types of jobs, just doing mowing, trimming, blowing, that sort of stuff, doing short lawn projects, whether it's top dressing, aerating, things like that, like everything surrounding kind of lawn type of things, kind of works with that, you know, that attention deficit that I have, that short attention span, right? They're all short, quick jobs that give me quick satisfaction stuff. So I kind of thrive in that environment of being able to do that sort of thing. So identify those things and kind of work your business towards those things. So some of the things I came up with just as generalizations is that in my mind, women typically are better at multitasking than men. Women are usually more detail-oriented than men. Now, again, like these are things I'm saying. It's not the end-all, be-all. It doesn't mean that this is the truth for every male versus female. It is just sort of my general observations. That women usually are more or have more patience than men, and some other natural things that kind of lend themselves to lawn care or gardening or landscaping is that women typically have an affinity for flowers and plants, sometimes even veggie gardens, things like that. That, you know, a lot of men don't. You know, typically a lot of guys that I've seen just in the industry and listening to when I'm interviewing other guys and stuff like that is the vast majority, although not all of them, again, but the vast majority all want to do the just mowing, just the mow, trim, blow. A lot of guys, even for the things that I kind of talk about all the time about, you know, there's acres of diamonds everywhere, that there's so much work out there that you could do things like fertilization, that you can do aerations, that you can, you know, do those types of things, Christmas lights and odd jobs and rubbish removal. There's so much income potential out there, that, you know, it's it's limitless, basically. But the vast majority of guys just want to mow. That's all they want to do when in this sort of industry, right? Although you can, you know, expand your business sideways and kind of, you know, utilize that customer list that you already have, that you build, that you, you know, those customers that know, like, and trust you. It's easier to do things like rubbish removals and things like that. When you have a truck, you have a trailer, and you have a customer that trusts you and they have garbage removal, why have them call the 1-800-GOT-JUNKS and stuff and pay them, you know, $500 to $1,000 or whatever to take stuff to the dump when, you know, you could do it, sort of thing, right? But the vast majority of guys are going to be focused in on just, I just want to mow. That's all. And I've heard it all the time. They just want to mow. They just want to mow, right? So if you're like that, if you have a natural affinity for things like flowers and plants and veggie gardens. I know my daughter, she is, I call her the crazy plant lady. You know, she is only 21, and her room is, it's a jungle. It's like so many different plants, so many varieties of like succulents and things like that. She's always propagating new plants and, you know, growing different ones. And she's got things all over the house on windowsills, trying to, you know, get sunlight and stuff. And she's moving plants out of different rooms. And like the other day, my son went into the bathroom to take a shower, and my daughter, I guess, knew he was going to go take a shower. So she moved a bunch of her plants into the bathroom, and he like opens the door and he's like, what the heck? Like, why are all these plants in the, and she's like, my plants need steam. Right. So she put all the plants in the bathroom, for, so my son's like, what the heck is sort of going on in here? So, you know, if you have that affinity, that can be a strength for you because, you know, just as an example, if you're into flowers and plants and stuff like that, that, that is something that can set you apart from all the regular, you know, mow, trim, blow type companies that are out there, that's all they sort of do, because there are a lot of clients that want those extra types of jobs, those extra things, the gardens maintained and things like that. And a lot of guys don't want to deal with that. And a client much rather deal with one company that can do all of that than, you know, have to hire another gardening company just to do that sort of stuff, just to do the flower beds and stuff like that. And then what happens if that other gardening company also does mowing and stuff, right? It's one of those things that then, you know, that's an easy way for, you know, a company, another competitor company to take that client away from you if they offer all of those things and you're having the client, you know, go to them because you don't want to do flower beds and stuff. You don't want to do aerations. You don't want to do, right? So think about your unique skills, your unique, identify your unique gifts as a woman that can set yourself apart, that you can use as a strength in your business. Also, I would say, generally speaking, again, just in generalizations, that you know, most women have a natural maternal instinct and are empathetic naturally as well. And this could be something that is a, you know, a gift for you as well in running a lawn care business, particularly if you are in an area that has a lot of older clients, you know, retired clients, elderly, seniors, things like that. In my own experience, again, this is one of those things that I've heard where people just don't want to spend the time to talk. And there's a lot of times where those types of clients are lonely. They want to, you know, they look forward to your visits each week to mow the lawn because of that 5-minute interaction, to be able to talk to you, to be able to just have that social time with somebody else when, you know, they may be home alone and that sort of stuff. So, you know, a lot of lawn care companies that are run by guys, they don't have those sort of natural maternal instincts, those natural sort of empathetic type instincts as well, and will just kind of, you know, brush off those types of clients, not want to deal with them, brush them off completely, tell them off sometimes that, hey, I can't, you know, I can't waste time, I can't sort of, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, again, that's something that could be a strength for you, something that could be something that builds a fantastic customer base for you. For me, I don't mind that part of it. I don't mind clients that come out. Now, there's some clients that, you know, I have some clients that will ask me questions about their lawn, and I'll answer the questions, and then the next week they're asking me the exact same questions. And it's not because, like, some of the clients that I'm thinking about here are not elderly. They're not, it's just one of those things. They just keep asking those questions over and over again, and you're having to explain the same thing. And it's like, it's the same thing that I told you last week. It's the same, you know, sort of thing, right? So I'm not talking about that. In those cases, yes, those types of clients can be, you know, referred to or known as the sort of the PETA clients, where you want to kind of think about your pricing and stuff like that if you're going to take on a client like that. Although, of course, it's hard to tell sometimes when you're first meeting a client, and they kind of, you know, show their true kind of selves as time goes on, and they kind of develop into a PETA type client. But I'm talking about more like elderly clients and stuff like that, that just want to say hello. They just want to have a friendly chat and that sort of stuff. And those I don't mind. I don't mind chatting with clients for a few minutes and stuff, you know, before the job each week or whatever the case may be. It, you know, it's, like I said, I've had clients for many, many years, and it's just part of it. It's just, you know, if you can't take out 5 minutes and talk to somebody, then I think you're probably maybe in the wrong business, right? Because when you're self-employed and you're dealing with clients, then you are in the people business, right? It's about pleasing those clients. It's about that, right? So it's not just about mowing the lawn and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot more to it than just those simple sort of things, right? It's about, all about that relationship building. But once you do, you know, you build that relationship, you know, it just makes that job security, so to speak, quote unquote, so much better, right? Other people can come along and try to take that client away from you, but because of that relationship you've built, because you take those 5 minutes each week to say hello or whatever the case may be, and you go with the flow. And I have in the past as well, like, I'll take on a client, and, you know, the first year I give them a quote, and you know, they turn into being a client like this that is always out there wanting to chat, or they turn into like that other version where I was talking about, where they're more of a, like a PETA client sort of things. And it's like, okay, I just kind of make a mental note of that. And then the next year when they renew, I just raise their price a bit, right? To sort of compensate, because I know now, okay, well, this is what this is going to be like going forward. It's always going to be like that, right? So I kind of build that into the pricing, that that's what it's going to be like. So just another example, sort of the maternal instinct and the sort of the empathetic that I've noticed in a lot of ladies, a lot of women, that it could be a benefit as well. So I started to think about the other thing was, what type of clients could be, you know, a target for a all, you know, woman run and owned lawn care business. And I thought, well, there's probably a good segment of maybe single women that may feel more comfortable having, you know, you know, with any sort of lawn care business. It's very kind of personal. You are inviting this person onto your property. You're giving them permission to come onto your property. And normally, we don't like strangers on our properties, right? We put up fences to, you know, not allow people to come or walk through our properties. Just as, you know, normal kind of suburban or city type dwellers, that's how it is, right? You have things fenced off. You kind of, you want to keep your space, your space. So when you call a company, you are inviting that person onto that property. So there may be times where in the summertime when it's hot, or other times where you might have things like windows open and things like that, just to let the air in or, you know, breeze through or whatever the case may be. And you know, a single female or something like that may not feel safe with a crew of guys, showing up, at their property, you know, unannounced, you know, once a week sort of thing, and being in such close proximity. I'm thinking about like some of the houses that I mow in the city. Some, you know, you're right there. I'm not doing like acreages and stuff, right? I'm doing mostly small city properties where, you know, when I'm in mowing in the backyard and I'm going back and forth, you know, I'm looking right at their windows, right? If their blinds are open, I can see right into their house. There's clients where I'm mowing and, you know, the backyard is there and the kitchen windows, you know, blinds are open and they got the lights on inside. And, you know, sometimes they're having breakfast and things like that. You know, they're retired or whatever. So they're, you know, having a late breakfast by the time I get there. And, I'm right there, right? I can see what they're doing in the kitchen while I'm mowing back and forth, right? So some, you know, there's some situations like that where a female, you know, if you're servicing like a property that's a single female who lives there, may be more comfortable having, you know, a woman run business showing up with, you know, men around. Another area where you could explore as well, or potential, is think about all the women-owned businesses that aren't lawn care around, whether it's whatever it is, restaurants, corporate jobs, you know, salons and hairstylists and things like that. There's a lot, obviously, of businesses out there that are all run by women and owned by women. And they may feel empowered as well to hire other women businesses, whether it's to service the properties of those businesses or their own personal properties as well. And, you know, sort of going out there and advertising yourself as a full woman run and owned business could be advantageous in that scenario as well. Another sort of instance where, and a little bit more limited, but this is one I've had personal experience with, and I thought right away that, you know, this would be applicable, is women's shelters, where I myself have serviced a local women's shelter where they had a couple of properties, and I would go out once a week to mow the lawns at these properties, and they were basically just houses in neighborhoods that were set up as women's shelters. So they had a couple of, you know, families living with them that were just, you know, a single mom with her children and that sort of stuff, and kind of helping them out. And they maybe had two or three, you know, families and some people that worked there living at this house. So I would go and pick up all the toys off the lawn and stuff, and then mow the lawns and that, and then do that. And then, you know, later on in the week on a different day, I went to the other property and that sort of stuff, right? So those are sometimes cases in these women's shelters where, you know, these women may be needing to use those services for specific issues, whatever the case may be, right? There may be some cases where there's victims of domestic violence and stuff like that, and having a female run business come in to mow the lawns and that sort of stuff just might be something that would be more advantageous in those types of situations where, you know, there's maybe trauma involved and things like that when it comes to men in that particular situation. Again, this is just generalizations and that sort of stuff, but that was something that immediately, you know, came to mind, was thinking about those women's shelters that I used to mow the lawns with and for. The other thing is clients that would want more than just mowing. A lot of these a lot of these guys that I've interviewed and other guys that I've talked to in the industry that just want to do just the mowing jobs. And again, I hinted on that as well, that, you know, myself, I have had clients who have asked me if I could do regular weeding and, you know, prepare their gardens for flowers and all that sort of stuff. And they wanted my input on what flowers to put and all that sort of stuff and all those things. And I just have absolutely no interest in flowers. I have no interest in sort of gardens and that sort of stuff. I can do you know, a quick weeding and do things like putting fabric down and, you know, rock and things down or mulch and doing that sort of stuff. But if you want like a garden design and to go get a bunch of plants, it's just something again with my, short, you know, attention span and things like that. It just doesn't get me, you know, just doesn't work for me. And as well, just the different types of flowers and all that sort of stuff and things like that. Like it doesn't interest me. Like, you know, when I think about my daughter and all of the, plants, and it's like with my daughter, it's strange because I'm not a huge plant person. My wife does like some plants, but she was never, you know, crazy plant lady, quote unquote, like I call my daughter. She's actually becoming more and more. My wife was always into the veggie gardens and vegetables and stuff. She knew flowers and stuff, and she liked hanging baskets, and she would prepare hanging baskets every year and stuff like that, and still does, and things like that. And you know, my wife weeds the gardens and things like that. She's not like my daughter who like, we're like, where did she pick that up from? Where did she like get that? Where she like loves plants and loves like all the different types of plants and is, you know, reading up on them and stuff like that. Yet she has no interest to work in horticulture or things like that. She just loves it as a hobby, to, you know, have her plants and take care of her plants and propagate them and all those sort of things. Right. So you might have, instances like that where clients, want more than just mowing. They want those flower beds and stuff like that, where that could be very advantageous. So are there examples, part of your question was, that I have seen of women run lawn care businesses? And the answer is absolutely. There are tons of them. Just, go on to social media and you will see, there is like some of the ones that come to mind just off the top of my mind is Pana Grace Gardens, of course, with Abigail Frost. They're in Washington State. She started her lawn care business there and in Point Roberts, and solo female operator to start. She's had recently her husband coming out to help her on certain jobs as well. I think she had, after a few years, just this past few months, had decided to kind of wrap it up and go. I think she was going to go work for the city, but that didn't work out. And she's back to doing what she does best with Hannah Grace Garden. So that's an example there of a woman lawn care business or run lawn care business. There's some another example is one from, I think she's called on Instagram, just trying to think of her Instagram handle. I think it's like the landscape manicurist or something like that, where she does and she's part of the Echo Means Business group right now, where she does just the gardens. She doesn't do any of the mowing. So her business, obviously, women owned and operated, but she does, her specialty is just all of the plant care, garden beds, that sort of stuff with no mowing. So that's another example there. The list goes on and on. There's another a group of sisters there, also part of that to Echo Means Business. I think they're J&J Landscaping. Two younger sisters that you know, run their business. The point is that there are tons of examples out there if you search them out. If you look for them on social media, you will see that there are lots of women successful women-owned and operated lawn care business is out there. And you don't need to worry about that being some sort of stumbling block or some sort of disadvantage, that it's not going to work, that people aren't going to hire you or things like that. I think it's absolutely the opposite. I think it's a 100% a strength that you are considering running a, you know, an all women owned and operated lawn care business. I would personally, you know, I always talk about businesses having differentiating factors, right? What can set yourself apart from everybody else? It's one of those things. Now, you know, when I thought about starting my lawn care business, you know, I'm a guy, so that it becomes one of those things where it's, you know, you're just kind of lumped in with everybody else, right? So when I started my lawn care business, you know, I looked at all the different types of businesses out there. You know, I had some experience from being in the franchise system and all that sort of stuff. And I thought I loved the sort of professionalism of that. I loved the uniforms, the nice trailer, that sort of stuff, and things like that. But again, even with that franchise business, when I think about lawn care businesses out there, at least in the area I was in, you know, green was kind of the predominant color out there for trailers and trucks and things like that, or things like that. So when I started my lawn care business, I thought, well, one way I can differentiate myself when I start my own brand is kind of go different than that, right? So I went for black as sort of the main color, and then having a pop of green, right? So I talked about on this podcast how I modeled sort of my colors back then, going, what is it, 15 years ago or something, when I left the franchise and went on my own, you know, a Monster Energy drink can of that color, right? The black with the lime green and the white. And that's how I went. And it was fantastic. It was this pop of color on there. The trailers completely stood out from all of these other kind of businesses out there that kind of always blended in, whether it was like white trucks with like forest green words on them, or green trailers or whatever the case may be. Mine kind of stood out. Ironically, it's now something that has blended in because there are so many lawn care companies now around me, other brands that have all hopped on the black with the green and the white. So much so that, you know, I've even thought about rebranding and changing my colors around now because I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, everybody's doing this now, the thing, because it's nice. It's modern looking. It's, you know, it's very sharp looking and stuff, but there's so many brands now using that color scheme for lawn and garden companies in my area that it's like, sort of things, right? But it's one of those things, right? I would, you know, I've talked about another business in the past that I've interviewed, where they had it was like a 1940s Chevy pickup truck that was restored. And I believe they were called Surecuts or something. I can't remember, but they were really going on sort of the 50s theme, the barber, sort of barber shop kind of theme, with the Surecuts kind of, logos and stuff like that. So they had this old, you know, 1940s or 50s type pickup truck, that was, you know, restored with a modern, you know, engine and that sort of stuff. So it was reliable. It was bright orange, the truck, with tan, insets in the doors and stuff. So it really popped. When you think about that, you know, driving down the road versus your modern day pickup truck that kind of just blends in with all of the other 50 million pickup trucks on the street. And then you see an old fashioned, you know, vintage truck all restored and shiny and all the chrome and all that sort of stuff, right? And he was pulling a trailer painted in the same orange as the truck. Then you start to see, oh, like there's his differentiating factor. That's what's making him stand out. You go to a job and, you know, you're laying down nice stripes and things like that. And you have that old, you know, pickup truck with all your logos and everything on there, sort of that whole vibe and stuff like that. That's something that really can make him stand out to, you know, attract clients. So I was thinking, well, you know, in your situation, I would really, not only would I, not worry about, you know, can you, or ask the question, can you run a successful, like, women-owned and operated lawn care business, I would embrace the fact that it's a women-owned and operated lawn care business. I would, you know, in my notes here, I've got, quote-unquote, put it as your superpower that you are a woman-owned lawn care business. And what I mean by that is I would go all in on your branding and all that sort of stuff. Now, I would look, like there's a company around me as well locally that I believe is all women owned and run, and their company name is Ladybug Landscaping. So it's you know, kind of going on that theme, right? The women, the feminine, the ladybug, that sort of thing, right? And going with that. So I would almost either find something kind of like that, or go all in, despite, like, if you are, you know, think about, you know, like the Barbie movie and all that sort of stuff that just came out, and the, you know, the whole pink sort of phenomenon and stuff like that. Now, I know plenty of females that don't like pink. Pink is not their favorite color. It's not their thing. But I would almost go all in on pink, sort of thing, right? Because it's universally sort of accepted as the female, you know, color, or feminine color, or that sort of stuff. I would go all in on pink and branding, have a logo that is like maybe a cartoon caricature of yourself. And you know, have that as your, like, you know, your face up there and that sort of thing, and go all in. Maybe, you know, try that whole kind of 50s vibe. Like, I'm thinking right now, like, in my head, in terms of branding and that sort of stuff. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with, like, thinking about, and again, it might be just because I was talking about that, that Surecuts one, I think it was, that had, like, the 50s pickup truck and that vibe and sort of stuff. But I'm thinking of the intro to the TV show, the black and white TV show from the 60s or whatever it was, called Bewitched. If you're familiar with that show or not, and the theme music and all that sort of stuff, and kind of that, they had that sort of cartoony introduction and the kind of cartoon characters of the real life actors in the sort of theme music and all that sort of stuff, with the kind of the stars and things when she would, like, cast a spell and that sort of stuff, as the character. So, you know, I'm thinking about that sort of a vibe, right? Like, on a pink trailer with that sort of a cartoony sort of theme of that style of character and that sort of thing. And just going all in on that, just going all in on the, hey, I am a woman, this is my company, this is what we do, and that's why we're better, all right, sort of thing. Just fully embrace it, fully go after it, you know, identifying your gifts, your strengths, of what makes you special, of those things that make you different than all of those guy companies that just want to mow lawns, that just want to do whatever the case may be, and just run with it, right? Figure it out, what it is that, you know, are you, you know, into succulents? Do you like that sort of stuff? Do you, are you, you know, into tropical plants and things like that? Can you leverage that? Can you, you know, do that sort of thing? There's so much opportunity there, that, you know, in, you know, this industry where it is predominantly male, I will, you know, admit that it's, you know, predominantly male, that doesn't make it necessarily difficult for you. That just makes you special. That makes you able to stand out easier than all of those other male-run companies. In terms of the work and all that stuff, I don't think it's an issue. As long as you've got the sort of physical chops to be able to handle it physically, like the fitness and stuff like that, to be able to go out there and mow lawns and do all that sort of stuff, you know, learning how to mow and edge and trim and all that sort of stuff and lay down stripes is not a difficult thing. It all comes with practice. You know, when I'm string trimming and I'm doing edging and stuff like that, and it looks like a blade edger has gone by, that's just from practice. That's just from years of doing it over and over again. So those skills, they are something that you can learn, those sorts of things, if you don't have any sort of prior experience. As long as you enjoy being out there and doing that type of work, that is the most important thing. That is what is really the most important thing, to be able to go out there and do it, because it's your livelihood. You're going to have to do it every day to get out there. Nobody's going to motivate you to go out there and do it. But as far as being a female goes, that is definitely not a hindrance in your situation. It can definitely be something that you should embrace and go all in on and tell the world that that is what your business is, that it's a female owned and operated business, and that is why we are special, and that is, you know, why we can utilize our gifts better than the males out there doing it, like, you know, 90% of the rest of the industry. So yeah, I would definitely see that as an absolute benefit. So hopefully that gives you some inspiration. Hopefully that gives you some, maybe some thoughts on, you know, not looking at it kind of the way it sounded like you were looking at it. Again, I'm not sure why. You know, you said you had tried to join some crews and look at stuff, but you know, you don't get a call back or whatever once they find you're female and stuff. And there could be lots of different reasons like that for that. Not necessarily that, for instance, not necessarily that it's that they don't think that you're capable of doing the job. Now, I'm not going to say that's for everybody. There's going to be guys out there that, you know, will have that mindset that want to, you know, think that they have to mansplain stuff to you or whatever the case may be. But there may be just other reasons that have nothing to do with your skills or capabilities. It may just be their comfort level. Maybe they don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you think about another business or something like that, that may be, you know, the guy out there and stuff. And maybe he just doesn't want to explain to his wife that he's hired a female that he spends more time with than, you know, his wife at work or whatever the case may be, right? I know guys out there that, you know, depending on their religious beliefs and things like that, they just don't want to be in that situation for whatever, you know, a bunch of different reasons. You know, it's one of those things, right? So I wouldn't worry about it being sort of that. And I would almost go, like I said, embrace it fully on your side, that, you know, you're starting a lawn care business that's fully women. And now, I don't know what the rules are in terms of hiring people are, but like I said, I would, if you, you know, were to decide to go and start hiring employees and stuff like that, I would almost try to, and again, I don't even know if this is allowed or whatever, but I would try to just hire women for your business, and not hire the males. But, you know, like, again, I don't know what the rules are for that sort of stuff, but I would, you know, try to leverage that as your sort of, you know, unique selling proposition, that that is what you guys are all about. You know, full embracing that that whole thing as your unique selling proposition. So hopefully that gives you some things to think about, some things to, some motivation to think about. I'd be curious as well to what you guys out there think about this as well. Maybe you guys can drop a comment. Of course, this isn't a YouTube video to drop a comment, but you know, hit that leave voicemail link in the podcast show notes and let me know what you think about this topic. And if you think you know, that's a unique strength for a full you know, women run lawn care business, if you know, I get some comments in about this, then I'll play them on a future episode as well, to kind of update that. So yeah, If you guys have any comments or questions and you want me to do an episode about that, be sure to go to the podcast show notes and just you can either leave me a written message again on Instagram. If you follow me there, just send me a DM on my website, lawncarebusinesssuccess.com. Go to the contact page. You can send me a question there, or like Tiff did, you can hit that leave voicemail message and just leave me a voicemail message of your question, and I will try my best to do a podcast episode about your question. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.